Welcome to Cannabis Business Minds Podcast with your host, Simone Samaluka-Radzins. Join me where I'll take you inside the ins and outs of this brand new and exciting business called cannabis. Connect with me on Calligia.com and follow us on social media as well. And here's today's show.
So on today's show of Cannabis Business Minds, we have two top women in the field of sales and marketing. We're trying to answer on this episode the age-old question, what comes first in business? Do you need to invest more time and money in your sales efforts or in your marketing efforts? And it's so interesting. I got to meet these ladies on Facebook when one of them was discussing in the comment section, you know, what makes more sense, sales or marketing? And so that led us to getting on a few meetings and trying to figure out how we can help all of you entrepreneurs in understanding what to go forward with first. So who we've got today on our show, we've got two fantastic women. The first one is Joanna Sapir, and Joanna is a business strategist and coach, a commander-in-chief of the Ginger Army, and a competitive Olympic-style weightlifter. She has been a teacher and mentor her whole life, from the classroom to the gym floor, and now to businesses across the world, helping health and wellness practitioners and coaches that are skilled at their craft and passionate about what they do build successful and sustainable businesses. So we've got her talking to us about the sales. Next, we've got Kayla Haley, and Kayla is an entrepreneur and the CEO and founder of St. Rock Media, a full-service digital agency servicing clients across Colorado in aviation, financial services, auto, and real estate. Kayla specializes in brand strategy and running killer Facebook ads, something I'm curious to hear a little bit more about. And she's an early investor in blockchain technologies and is the subject of Kayla Haley, a daily YouTube series documenting her experiences as a business owner and investor. When Kayla is not running her business, she's training and competing in the mixed martial arts and hosting her podcast, Girl Fight Talk. So ladies, Joanna, Kayla, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah. I love that we're both athletes.
Yeah, exactly. With like amazing sports, cool sports.
Right? And I'm curious, like I would love, you know, I want you guys to introduce yourselves a little bit on your own, but it's interesting when you see these strong women that are entrepreneurs that are, you know, helping other businesses while also helping their own, you know, their own business have that work-life balance. And, you know, you have to do something, it seems like, outside of just business. So I love that I got some athletes and some killer rock stars on the show. Joanna, can you start? Can you tell us, you know, who you are a little bit more? A little bit also about your Olympic competitions. I was like, when I was thinking about it, I was like, oh my God, we got sales and lifting. and your entrepreneurial journey and, you know, how you're really helping people with sales.
Yeah. Well, I became an entrepreneur myself pretty much by accident. I had been a high school teacher and a teacher educator for 10 years. And what happened was I moved to a new county. I'm in Northern California, and I moved up to Sonoma County from the Bay Area. And I was an athlete, kind of not, you know, on the side. And when I got up here, I found that there was no place to do the kind of real athletic training that I had been used to and expected. And I was trying everything there was around here to replace it. It just didn't exist. And that's actually how I opened my first business. So I opened an athletic training facility and kind of created the place that I was looking for. And that was how I got into business. And it was sort of a hit the ground running kind of thing. I just had to figure it out on the spot. And I learned a lot of really hard lessons. And, you know, it was probably a couple years into it. And I was actually making a good amount of money, but I didn't even know how much money I was making. I really had no systems in place whatsoever. I was, you're asking about work-life balance. I had none and was just kind of working my butt off. And that was when I realized, oh, there's got to be a better way to do this. And that's how I started really, I decided to learn about business. And I sought mentorship and business coaching. And I read everything I could. And I figured out how to build the systems in my business to make it profitable, to make it sustainable, to allow me to have the kind of lifestyle I wanted. And as I did that, it was super empowering. And that's when I started coaching other business owners in how to do that. And so eventually I sold that business, which was a great accomplishment, and moved into full-time coaching other businesses and how to be profitable and sustainable.
Oh, that's excellent. That's awesome. And it's funny because it seems that you have to really, before you can coach or train anybody, you need to know how to do it.
Definitely. And I actually really think it is helpful to have made some serious mistakes, you know, and learn from the mistakes and really understand what happens when you go that direction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then Kayla, what about you? I mean, you are, especially with the blockchain, I'm very curious to hear a little bit more about how you foresaw that early on, but podcasts, YouTube, and then you have a digital, you know, marketing agency where you're helping a lot of really big industries with, it seems like, their marketing. So can you talk to us about, you know, what's your journey been like in this?
Yeah, definitely. So, I just graduated from college a few years ago, and as a lot of trying to get out of college, you're kind of trying to figure out, all right, what do I really want to do? And it was interesting because I actually went to school for biology, believe it or not. And my parents are like, why are you doing marketing now? And I think ultimately what I realized is, I mean, as many of you probably know, college is just like extremely expensive, you know, people can go into so much debt over school. And so I was like, okay, I don't want to be in debt. And I really want to be able to, you know, control my own hours, be able to, you know, do all the different things I want to do, excuse me, in my 20s, which is, you know, I'm getting to be able to do some of those things. And I realized, okay, reverse engineering, how do I do that? I'm going to start my own business. And so I just, you know, I realized a lot of the things that I learned in biology in school, I just learned how to learn basically. And, I took a lot of the concepts of what I learned in school and applied it to learning a lot like Joanna mentioned, just kind of learning and figuring out and struggling and tripping through the process a little bit and understanding how to make Facebook ads work, making Instagram work for you. Just a lot of trial and error. And that's really what marketing in a lot of ways is. But yeah, so I work with a lot of businesses here in Denver. You know, so I started off with auto industry and realized that there was a larger Denver, although it may seem like a kind of a up and coming city, it's still just a big cow town. So a lot of people are still trying to figure out their marketing, trying to figure out how they're like, social media, are you sure that that's something I should be doing? And I'm like, there are like 2.5 billion active daily users on Facebook. I think that it's probably a safe bet that you should be on Facebook. So a lot of my job is in a lot of ways, trying to convince a lot of business owners, of the benefit and of the use and, you know, the returns that they can get with using social media, as a way to reach their target audiences. And so, yeah, a lot of times I'm, you know, arm wrestling other CEOs into them and showing them like, look, this works. Here are some use cases. Here's some case studies. And so, yeah, it's been a journey. I've been doing this for about 2 years. And, so like I said, graduated and it's a lot of fun. And then you talked about blockchain technology. So, it's so funny with this. I don't know if anybody else is doing this, but, there's like a huge market crash right now. So, everyone's been freaking out, but, that's been an interesting thing as well. I think that, honestly, what's been going on with marketing, we see it with Facebook, we see it with just the technology in general, with being able to, something like this, something that we're doing years ago would have cost tens of thousands of dollars just with equipment and the ability to broadcast this to so many people. But we're able to do it for free on the internet. And it's really basically decentralized you know, the ability to reach a large audience without having to spend a lot of money. And in that same spirit, that's what a lot of the blockchain technologies are. And so it's a pretty exciting technology to get a part of.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I got to start investing now that there's it was like 20,000 Bitcoin, you know, in December. And I think I heard that maybe yesterday it was around 7,000.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Ooh, this is the time to invest. All right. So, okay, let's just start the elephant in the room, sales and marketing. Do they go hand in hand? Like, what should somebody really be, you know, thinking about first in 2018, right? You know, we're not old school. Cannabis is a little bit different because we don't have so many luxuries of, you know, social media, exactly being able to use Facebook as maybe somebody in the automobile industry would be. But notwithstanding, there's basic principles of marketing and sales. And so I don't know who wants to kick it off with, you know, sales or marketing and why, before we get into a little bit more of the detailed questions. But Joanna, do you want to go sales or marketing from the sales guru? You know, which one should somebody be focusing on first?
Well, I mean, they absolutely do go hand in hand, of course. So it's not like one comes at the, is, you know, should be focused on at the exclusion of the other. However, when I am out talking to both new entrepreneurs and even people with existing businesses, I see a huge mistake in that they are frequently saying, I need more leads, I need more leads, I need more leads. Let me clarify that I work with service businesses. So I work with consultants, service providers of pretty much any sort. So these aren't physical products that they're selling. It's a service of some sort. And they'll go looking for what's the marketing trick that I need? How do I get more people coming to me? And that seems really valid until I do an assessment of their business. And it turns out that they don't actually, like more than half the time, people I talk to, again, new and experienced, they don't actually have any system in place to convert any leads that they get to clients. So you'll see people spending money on marketing, and kind of the most upsetting example to me is when a brand new business puts a whole bunch of money into developing a website and their, you know, all the creative side of branding, their logo and making it look good and all this imagery, and they don't know how to sell and they've never sold. And that is definitely going backwards. I mean, that's definitely the wrong order of things. So you need to know how to convert any leads you have into clients before you spend time and money and energy on getting more leads and on the marketing side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually agree with Joanna. So it's interesting. I just did all the fun creative stuff for one of my clients. They're like, we just need to like finish our brand. We needed to do a branding project. We need to do our website. So I was like, sure, let me do that for you. But it's funny because after all of that, and in the process leading up to, I said, okay, we talked about, you know, what are your brand attributes? What are the things that your brand stands for? And so, you know, they're like, we want it to look like Apple. And I was like, all right, that's specific. And so I was like, well, so, but you're a financial services company. You don't sell technology. So it's interesting to me to even see how people's minds, all they really know about is what they see, and they don't really think about what it goes on behind the scenes to why Apple is Apple. But it's interesting because for a lot of my clients, a part of what I do for them is creating their funnel. Because let's face it, what is the point of having all this fancy branding and all that stuff if not to convert at the end of the funnel? It's just a black hole of throwing money into. And so, you know, when it comes to branding and you know, I think too, people get confused when they hear marketing, because I talk to a lot of my clients and I said, so what are you looking for? Are you looking to sell or are you looking to build your brand? Those are two different things. And a lot of people confuse them And so it's funny because I say, you know, I'll help you with your brand. And they're like, well, what's the ROI? And how quickly can I see that ROI on that? And I said, you don't know what a brand is. Say that. But, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, now I understand what kind of conversation we need to have. Because it's clear that you're coming from a sales standpoint rather than building up your brand. So,
And I think my stance would be that generally businesses don't need to be focusing on branding until they're totally profitable. Like, this should be extra money that is put away for branding. If they're not yet profitable and sustainable and rolling along, they need to be focused on simply making money, period. You know?
Well, it's interesting. And so Kayla, I know that you're going to say something. For me, you know, I don't come from the branding world at all. Like, we talked before we started recording this, like, you know, I'll go on social media, I'll mention a few things, but, you know, my background's just like, get some referrals, make some calls, my networking, like, that's how I get business. And so I recognize the importance of kind of building a brand. But I guess the question is, you know, if somebody were to have, let's just say, you know, $1,000 and they're just starting out, what would you ladies advise them to do? Because this, I think many entrepreneurs get stuck in this. They're like, okay, hopefully they've solved the problem. Like, they're starting a business because they know that they're not just trying to be the apple of cannabis or the apple of whatever. They're trying to solve a problem and they have their why factor, their mission statement and all that kind of stuff. But then I think a lot of them get stuck of like, it's so fun to design a logo. It's so fun to do the branding. And they don't necessarily focus on actually getting money in the bank or, you know, in their pockets. So what would you ladies suggest? You know, let's start with you, Kayla, like $1,000, somebody's just starting out. They know they're investing that own money. They have their own legal entities. So compliance stuff, you guys don't have to worry about. What would you tell them to do to help build their sales with marketing as part of it?
Sure. So it's interesting. Go to Wix, go to Squarespace, and design your own website. You can spend, I don't know, maybe $100 for a year to have access to that website. Go to, I think, Wix, and there's 99-cent designs. There are some really affordable, Upwork and Fiverr. Go have somebody design a logo for you for $20, $50. It's interesting. I think that people confuse, again, these fancy big, you know, budgets for, I mean, I think Nike's logo was designed for like $100. I think is like that's the origin story. That's like the, you know, origin story of it all. But the point being is that branding does not need to cost a lot of money. I mentioned this again. We're living in a decentralized, you know, a more and more becoming decentralized world. It does not cost money to start a YouTube channel. It does not cost money to have an Instagram account. It does not cost money to have, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all of these different things. Now, sure, if you want to, you know, put money into ads, again, you have to determine, am I spending money on ads for sales, or am I putting money into ads for branding? You have to be very clear about what your objective is. I think Facebook even tries as much as they can to help you understand what your objective is when you're spending money on ads. Again, though, yeah, of course, you need to convert a sale in order to keep the lights on. That just is common sense. But I think that these things are not mutually exclusive. You can focus on sales and also focus on your branding at the same time. What are we doing right now? This is branding, what we're doing right now. You know, again, you can start a podcast for free. So I think sometimes we think that in order to do something well, in order to do something that's meaningful, it has to have a big budget behind it, and then it doesn't. That's just a complete and total myth. Everybody has a cell phone. Most people have, if you're a business owner, you may probably have a laptop. You have more than enough to do branding for yourself. So that's my opinion.
I like it. Joanna, what about you?
Okay. Well, let's see, a couple things to kind of play off that. I truly don't believe that anybody needs a website or even a logo or anything to launch a service business. I think that even taking that time, creating a podcast, creating a YouTube channel, is taking you away from, again, not just making money, but you're trying to validate what your offer is. You need to know that it actually is something that's going to sell. And so I would tell people to just immediately, like, you don't need any of that stuff. Immediately, if you have a service that you want to provide, tap your personal and professional network and put it out there. The people that already know you, like you, trust you, and start seeing if you can sell it. Start getting them to speak for you. Do you know anybody else who might be interested in this, and see if you can sell it? I would say do all that to validate what you have before you even spend your time. So yeah, that stuff, you can do it all for free or very low cost, but even before you spend your time doing that, I'd say go and try and sell it. And you know, Kayla is totally right. There's so much free information out there. I mean, so much. There absolutely is everything you need available to you to build a business. And that's actually part of the problem. People end up coming to me who have been struggling trying to do it on their own and are just totally distracted. There are so many, you know, marketing gurus saying what to do. I mean, there are so many options. So with $1,000, I would say invest in mentorship and guidance, whether it's a mastermind or a business coach, business consultant, someone to keep you on track and turn off all the rest of the noise so that you stick to a plan. You know, create a plan and stick to the plan is what I would say.
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting. And I see both sides, right? I'm like, let's just make the budget 2,000 and we've got the whole really great to invest it. Because it's true. Like, when you're starting out, there's so much information and so many blogs and websites, which is great, especially for those that love learning. But everybody has a system, like 5 tips to increasing your market share doing this, or 5 tips using this system, right? And so, yeah, figuring out your, at least for my own businesses, it was very helpful, like figuring out what works for me, how I can kind of scale what I currently have. And then, yeah. And then understanding, yeah, the importance of truly branding. It's hard because I think, you know, where, depending on what you're selling, the answer might change, right? You know, Joanna, you're doing, as you mentioned, service-based businesses, right? So having the network, having the referral base is huge. But if you have this product that you want to sell, it's going to be harder, where perhaps somebody would need to have a website so people could look at it, or more sales collateral and all that kind of stuff.
And I suppose I'm just talking about kind of sequence and order of things, because once you've validated that people need your offer, they want it, and that you can sell it and provide it and give them what they need, then is the time for sure to go. Now you understand, you know, what problems you solve in the marketplace, and you can communicate that effectively. That's where your website is going to actually be effective. You don't end up like Kayla's talking about. She gets people coming to her saying, I want it to look like Apple. It's like, you know, are they just making that up out of thin air? Do you know what I mean? Like, really, you want your own clients and customers to be providing you the information about who you are as a brand. They're your best kind of mirror and feedback. And so once you have that is when you go develop the brand.
Yeah, that's true.
I would agree, because I just even think about one of my first businesses. We have had so many reiterations of coloring, of branding, of business cards with different taglines, because we were a startup and we were listening to our customers, and we're like, and we hadn't really figured out what problem we were solving until a few years in. Mm-hmm. And so it is true, because I think about my own self and the money that I wasted, you know, basically doing things a little out of sequence. And it's so true, is understanding, you know, when you have a product or solution, what is the value that you're adding, and getting that customer feedback. Cause I have noticed, and I'm curious, Kayla, if you want to add anything to this, but you know, I've noticed when people tell other people about what I do, they say it way better than I can say it. Like, they, you know, like, the solution has been, you know, it's much better in a customer's eye, sometimes than the actual business owner. Kayla, from your experience, have you seen any of that, just working with your clients, and, you know, how they might, or you're the one who's helping them, mm-hmm. with their messaging?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I tell my clients, I said, you pay me to tell you the truth. You know, because a lot of people, when they have this idea in their mind, they get married to it. And so they want to, you know, feel validated for their idea. And I'm like, your idea is not bad. It's, you know, maybe just the execution of it could use some work. And so, you know, I'm constantly, you know, my clients is, I'm so glad we have a great relationship, because otherwise, I don't know, they might not like me too much. But yeah, I tell my clients, I just had one of my clients just had a launch party last week. And it was interesting to me that one of their close friends approached me because they knew that I was helping them with their marketing. And I hadn't done this. We just started working together. So I wasn't involved with their launch party. But this one person came up to me and they're like, Kayla, I need to let you know something about this client, your client's branding. I really don't think that this is working out for them. I want them to change this. I want them to change that. And so it's interesting how people were even approaching me about, you know, I don't like their messaging, but I don't, because I'm their friend, I want you to tell them, I want you to be the bad guy and tell them that. And I don't want the burden of responsibility to give them that kind of feedback. And so that just happened last week. And so it's interesting. So I'm constantly in a place where I have to try to communicate, you know, gently to my clients, look, this isn't, your brand isn't about you. What is the objective of your business? You want to make money, right? You want to make money and you want to enjoy, how you do that. You want to enjoy the work that you do. You're not in charge of your business as in the way that you probably think you are. The market is. And so however the market responds to your brand, are you going to be married? Are you going to sink with a dying ship? Or do you want to pivot, constantly making new iterations of how to, you know, communicate your business, how to communicate your messaging, for the sake of making sure that you're in line with what your target audience wants. And so those are conversations we do have. And I think it's important for any business owner. I think it's important for you to not be married to the concept or the original vision that you had, because things change. Things change all the time.
Yeah. Especially in this world, right? In 2018, with digitalization and new market trends, and then in the cannabis space too, like all of these things seem to be changing very, very quick. And startups and entrepreneurs seem that they need to really kind of embrace the word pivot in their first few years to ensure that, yes, that solution that worked in 2017 with, you know, X thing, perhaps it was regulation or perhaps it was just what market trends were, might need to be adapted to hit your sales goals for 2018.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Can you guys talk a little bit about, you know, you mentioned target market and the importance of, you know, understanding our target market as business owners and entrepreneurs, and kind of those different buyer personas. I think it would be very interesting for our listeners to understand from, you know, a sales perspective, marketing perspective, you know, how do buyers make decisions and how could, you know, these entrepreneurs learn something, you know, from the insight that you'll give, to change the way that they can kind of communicate effectively with how those buyers are making decisions. Joanna, do you want to start?
Sure. I mean, that's exactly kind of right in line with what I've been saying about validating your offer. Once you have really validated that what you're providing is something that people want and need, it really is from your existing clients. And if you have a body, if you've been in business for a while and you have a body of clients, what I tell people to do is pick your top 10, like the 10 best clients you've ever had. And that's usually easy for a business owner to identify, even if they haven't come up with the criteria ahead of time. They just know who they loved working with, who saw the most results, who was the most kind of compliant, you know, what vibed right. And then you go and you identify everything you can about those people. And so with my clients, I teach them to kind of separate demographics and psychographics. So I think a lot of times in marketing, marketers focus on demographics, not all the time, but demographics end up getting a focus when really you also need to include the psychographics. So let me just explain really quick. The demographics are things like you know, gender, age, station in life, location, all these kind of like cut and dry kind of things. Whereas psychographics are really their emotions and the words they use and how they describe their own problems. So you really need both. I'm sure Kayla talked about like Facebook advertising, Facebook marketing. The demographics can be super helpful for really good targeting in your ads. But the psychographics is where you're going to get your copy from. That's where you're going to be calling out to who your people are. And the right ones, when you get your language dialed in, are going to be attracted to you. And you want to repel the others. You don't want people who aren't your kind of people, you know? So that kind of falls into something that's commonly said that I totally agree with, which is don't market to everyone. You want to figure out who your people are. Who are your people that love you and you love them, and you speak their language to get more of them.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's psychographic. I mean, especially, so one of my clients is a Ferrari dealership here in Denver. And it's interesting because, you know, people might think, oh, like, old white guys, like that's probably who the target audience is, or guys who have money, right? And I'm like, you guys, no. There's so many subcategories of who that person is, and that psychographic is very important. And it's funny because a lot of times, for example, this one client, they have an event. I have to be careful. They have an event every summer that tries to attract people through a charity event, and it doesn't do well. I mean, the event is great. The event, there's like lots of alcohol and it's fun and there's cars everywhere and it's, you know, it seems like it might be the right environment, but they don't actually, there's no ROI. And so I think they're even considering, like, should we continue with this event every year? And so I think of the deeper reason is because they're not identifying clearly enough who that target audience is. And so it's really important. It's crucial. And that's why I think with Facebook ads, actually, I would have to, I don't know, somewhat disagree, I guess. Yeah, the copy, definitely. You need to test your copy. But that's why Facebook ads are so powerful, because you're able to test your target audiences at scale in a quicker amount of time. And so you take $150 and you put it towards this campaign against, you run ads against, three different target audiences. You change the copy on it. You put another $150 against something else. And so I think that that is a very effective and quick way to identify who that target audience is. You can see, okay, I have measurable data. These are the people who clicked through. And because I added a Facebook pixel onto my website, now I can retarget those individuals.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's very interesting to, what's cool about technology, it allows you to scale so quickly. It allows you to reach, as you mentioned, so many people and kind of to test this kind of stuff out. Does, if you would be doing that on Facebook, you know, would you want somebody to like a page more or click through to a website? I think this is where a lot of entrepreneurs get really confused, because, you know, in my mind, it's like, you want people's email. You want to be able to, you know, if you're going to have a sale, especially if it's a service, you're going to want to call them and qualify them to see if you actually can sell something, if it's, you know, a product that they might buy on their website. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. And that's where a sales funnel, you know, comes into play. So hopefully a lot of you are familiar with ClickFunnels. It's a site where you can basically build your different sales funnels, whatever kind of funnel you want. Before we even start any kind of ads, we need to know where people are going in the funnel. We need to know where they are at within the funnel so that we know how to appropriately, are they at the top, the middle, or the bottom of your funnel? So that we know in context of whether this is a cold lead, is this a warm lead? In the same way that you don't approach and meet someone for the first time and say, hey, do you want to buy my product? It's like, I don't even know you. I'm not sure that I want to, you know, you just introduce yourself. And in the same way, you do the exact same thing. It's so funny, people think that the internet is so different than meeting someone offline. It's not. You do the same, you know, social, you know, acceptable things online. Hi, my name is you know, Kayla or Haley, I'm from St. Rock Media, and you introduce yourself to people online. And then from there, you, as you build that relationship online and through Facebook ads, because you're able to track that data, you're able to know at scale, again, who you're speaking to and which ad is appropriate for which person. Back to the website, yeah, you want the website. You want to collect people's email addresses. As great as Facebook and all these other platforms are, what if Facebook goes away tomorrow? Mm-hmm. What if Facebook goes away tomorrow and you don't have any contact, you don't have any way to contact your audience? You need to collect emails. I know a lot of people think emails are obsolete, but it's still an important tool. So yeah, you want to have the Facebook, you want to use your Facebook ads and you want to send people to your website.
Mm-hmm. Joanna, can you talk to us a little bit about, you know, we talked about a sales funnel and kind of that will lead into closing the sale. But do you mind explaining a little bit for our listeners about, you know, what is a sales cycle, how sales cycles can, you know, vary in terms of length, in terms of, you know, actually working with marketing, all of that?
Yeah, sure. So I think the term sales cycle comes out of like more physical products, whereas I talk about in services a sales pipeline. And just like Kayla talked about, you know, taking a cold audience and warming them up, that is part of the sales pipeline. You need to, just like she said, you don't want to be making offers and trying to sell services to people who don't already know, like, and trust you. And she's absolutely right that, like, think about in real life how you would meet somebody. The dating analogy is often given. It's like you wouldn't walk up to a stranger and say, do you want to go on a date with me? It's like first you'd, like, catch their eye. You know, you'd catch their eye and then maybe you'd approach each other and you'd introduce yourselves and you'd have a little bit of conversation. Do you know what I mean? Like all of that before it's like, hey, could I get your number? And that's really the analogy for capturing the lead. Just like Kayla was talking about, you know, an email address is a pretty standard in real life. It might be a phone number or both. And then warming them up from there. So I call that nurturing your prospects or nurturing your leads. And that's a key piece of the sales pipeline. Now, I think where I probably separate from where Kayla's coming from is there are a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of people getting into the online marketing world and really thinking that's all it takes is I just set this all up digitally and I sit behind my computer and it just, you know, the sales come in. And there are just like millions of people trying to build this kind of stuff online and it just doesn't work. People are trying to sell services actually this way and it just doesn't work. You need human touch. You need human connection. And if you're selling services, you actually need to get on the phone or on a Skype or Zoom call and have conversations with them. That's how it happens. So the sales pipeline, essentially, once you've, you know, done any lead generation activities, you're collecting your leads, you're warming them up and nurturing them before you ever make an offer. And for a service business, your offer, the one I most recommend, I work with my clients individually to figure this out, but almost always some kind of free consultation or free strategy session is perfect because that's your chance to, you schedule that. You can, after that, you can pre-screen and pre-qualify people. So if they're coming in digitally and applying for, they're taking you up on your offer for a free consultation, you can filter people out if they're not the right fit. There's a number of ways to do that. You can prepare them ahead of time for what this consultation or strategy session is going to be like. That could be done via email, for example. And then you do the actual consultation or strategy session or discovery call. You know, people call them all different things, but it's the same thing itself. And that's where this really is like a skill that people need to learn. It's one of the most important things I teach people because they just really often don't know how to do it. I know I have been a prospective client with a number of service providers who I just was cringing, you know, like, oh man, this is not going well. They just really don't know how to do it. But I'll just give a couple tips, which is like, this is not you. Just like the dating analogy, you would not go out on a date and be like, okay, here's all the reasons that I'm so great and that you should think of marrying me. this and this and this, and I have this to offer, right? You would never do that. It's like, really, you should be first judging, am I into this person? Is this the right fit for me? Is like the first question, right? And sussing them out a bit. So with a potential client, you want to have a number of questions to really understand their situation and make sure that you can actually help them and that they're an appropriate client for you. Two, it really needs to be a personal connection where they understand that their needs are what you're putting first. That's what this is about, is them and their needs. And only then are you potentially offering, making an offer of your paid services and what you can provide and how you can help them. There's, of course, a lot more detail than that. But that's essentially what the sales pipeline is. And then I have a whole... I have a whole client life cycle where even once they're a client, to me, the marketing doesn't stop. I mean, to me, the onboarding process is still part of marketing. As their clients, it's still part of marketing. And I teach my clients a number of ways to continue doing that. You want your people to absolutely love you, you know?
And refer business to you.
Exactly. Exactly. That's totally part of it.
Yep, yeah, exactly. Yep. And the whole point is to have business that lasts, right? It's like you do all that, you do all of that pursuing of a client, not just to have a one-time business deal. You do it so that you can have a continual business relationship with that person. You know, not looking for a one-night stand, but you're looking for someone you can, and ultimately that's what your brand is someone, I mean, like, you talk about someone who's like, do you use iPhone or Android? You have like cult-like followings on both sides of that conversation. And that's because of, you know, the brands and the perceived value that both of those brands bring to the table and the audiences that choose either side. But ultimately, I just wanted to quickly talk about when it comes to branding, you know, I think that it's important to realize too, that when you come to the negotiating table, it's important to realize who has the negotiating power when you come to the table. Because I think that that's one thing that when I'm, you know, so it's funny, I'm always on Facebook. I have my own Facebook group. I have, like I said, my YouTube channel. People are constantly, I don't even charge people to help them with like cryptocurrency stuff. Or blockchain stuff. And yet they're constantly like, hey, can I pay you to like help me and teach me and do all this stuff? And I'm like, I mean, I would just do it for free, but if you insist on paying me, you know, sure. And so I think like that's the power of branding is when you provide so much valuable information. In people's psychology, they think that they owe you something. They think that, oh man, I need to repay this person for all the information that they just gave to me. And so I think that that's something that people need to realize is that ultimately what we're dealing with, and we're talking about sales and all this stuff, it's just psychology. It's just understanding how people's brains work and understanding that you give value to someone else, they feel responsible and indebted to you to provide something back to you as well.
And looking at it, like I love to look at business now when I work with clients and strategic partners, it's like, let's all have fun together and make money together, right? Like if you're helping a client, you're helping them try to make more money in whatever service that you're doing. And I've always just noticed it's much more fun to, yes, you have to give away free stuff now. I mean, we are in an age where we are such an on-demand society. We, as people, just demand things and we expect them to be free a lot of the time, just of kind of where we are in 2018. Ladies, we've got one more question, and I want both of you to answer it. And it's really, I mean, you've worked with many clients, both of you in different sectors. And, you know, could you give two tips on, you know, what an entrepreneur should be doing to create a better, more sustainable business in terms of, yes, what you help them with, but just from your insight, from your knowledge, how can an entrepreneur kind of improve their business? Two tips. Joanna, you want to start?
Okay. All right. Truly, my number one tip is find a mentor, a coach, a program, people who are ahead of you, somebody who's ahead of you and can really guide you and has kind of a proven program of some sort. That really is number one. That's the, you know, there's so much noise out there. That's hunker down and focus on something where you have the support and guidance that you need to go after it. That's number one. And number two is what I would say is in this digital marketing world, if you're a service business, you're going to need to get out from your computer and actually talk to people.
Mm-hmm. Which is good. We love human connection.
Yeah. It's interesting. So I think that, again, sales, it's important. You need to make money so that you can actually be in business. That's kind of like, I get that part. But in terms of a lasting business, I have to say that providing value consistently for your target audience is huge. Again, the reason why we have Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all these other companies is because they've invested in making sure that their target audience continues to be repeat customers. You want people to be invested in your story. Ultimately, especially in service industries, you are selling yourself. You are their product. So you have to, in order to sell yourself, you have to make people believe and buy into your story. And that's ultimately what you are your brand. And so, the more that you can get people to be invested and to feel emotionally, because ultimately that's what you want people to do, is making a sale. Yes, they understand, okay, you may not be the cheapest, but the reason why you're not the cheapest is because you provide more value, et cetera, et cetera. But ultimately at the end of the day, they're making an emotional decision. And you want them to think of you when they make that emotional decision. And so I say continue to invest in your brand, offering people value, so that they come back and they're like, hey, I want to use you because of what you've done for me already.
Mm-hmm. So what I think is that we've answered the age old question, what's more important, sales or marketing? You can't have one without the other. You've got to focus. We had four tips. Number one, find a mentor, get some guidance, you know, start talking to people, get your, you know, figure out what your messaging is, your core marketing, all that stuff. Once you figure that out, start providing value for your target market. And four, continue to invest in the brand. And I really think, you know, I was so curious where this was going to go because, I mean, it clearly shows the importance of both, right? And, you know, if you're starting out with zero money in the bank, how do you get quickly, you know, to a sale to start investing later on into marketing? We kind of discussed this, but really the age-old question to me is that it's not even the yin and the yang, but it's very synergistic, sales and marketing. And not that you can't have one without the other, but to really build a fully profitable and sustainable business, you want to have both. So Joanna and Kayla, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom in your areas of expertise.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, well, you're very welcome. And so then we can cut it there, but this was awesome.
Good job, everyone.
Okay. So I'll have to send this to the editor and we'll figure out kind of how to repurpose some of this stuff. But I knew this was going to, I mean, you can't just say that you want sales or just marketing. Like, they go hand in hand. And
totally. And
when you're selling a product in the digital age, it's so different than a service. And we should build a business together one day.
I think that a lot of people really don't know a difference between the two. So hopefully that kind of highlighted some of it and, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's so funny. So many clients are like, I said, I spoke to the marketing director at this private charter company and she was like, yeah, I want help with like brand awareness. And I said, okay, yeah, that's great. We can do that. And she was like, but what's the ROI on that? And I was like, I think you got it confused. So yeah, it's true.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, ladies.
And thank you all so much for listening to Cannabis Business Minds. I'm your podcast host, Simone Samaluka-Radzins with Kalogia. Connect with me on kalogia.com and we will talk to you next week. Thank you for listening to today's show. This is your host, Simone Simaluka-Radzins of Calligia.com. I hope that you find this episode entertaining and insightful. My goal is to educate all of you about this exciting business because knowledge is power. If you haven't already, head on over to Calligia.com to connect with me and to meet other business leaders in the professional cannabis community. Also, if you like this, please go into iTunes and leave the Cannabis Business Minds podcast a 5-star review. See you next episode.